You're listening to Mom Talk, the online community radio show connecting moms across Canada and around the world. Join Helen, Kara, and Tracy, the parenting team from CanadianParents.com, as they talk all things mom. Mom Talk, a podcast for moms, by moms, because we're all in this together.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Mom Talk. I'm Tracy, and today we're speaking with Dr. Nikki Cohen. Dr. Cohen is a clinical psychologist working in supervised practice in the field of pediatric sleep in Toronto. Hello, Nikki. Welcome to Mom Talk.
Well, thank you for having me.
Can you describe the type of work you do for us, please?
Sure. I work in the area of pediatric sleep, and I do work in the area of assessment and treatment of pediatric sleep disturbances.
And what ages do you work with?
So I work with parents of infants, toddlers, and preschoolers. So that typically covers the 0 to 5 year age range.
Okay. And what kinds of sleep disturbances do you deal with?
I primarily deal with bedtime problems, which often includes either bedtime resistance, usually in toddlers and preschoolers, they just don't want to go to bed. And also bedtime problems includes children who don't have independent sleep onset, which means they don't yet have the skill of falling asleep independently. I also deal with night wakings, early morning awakenings, daytime sleep disturbances, nightmares, nighttime fears, and sleep terrors.
Interesting. And what is your approach to dealing with these problems?
Well, my approach is behavioral in nature, so everything I recommend is behavioral and based on empirically supported treatments, which means what we know based on the research is effective. So, for example, my approach when working with a parent of a six-month-old who doesn't have the skill of falling asleep independently, my approach usually would involve encouraging independent sleep onset so the child learns the skill of falling asleep independently. My approach would also include making sure that parents are responding really consistently, both at sleep onset and during the night, and also weaning nighttime feeds if there's no medical need to continue them.
Do sleep problems often resolve on their own?
Well, that's a good question. Unfortunately, they usually don't. We know from research that has followed children for anywhere from a few years to up to 1 or 2 decades. The research has shown that pediatric sleep disturbances are really chronic in nature. And we know that as children get older, sleep problems become more difficult to treat. And this is because the longer that sleep problems persist, the more difficult they are to treat because bad habits become more ingrained over time. So if I'm working with an older infant, say 6 to 12 months of age, I would usually be telling parents that if they follow the plan that we develop and that they're really consistent, that they would expect to see improvement over, let's say, 3 to 7 days. However, with a preschooler, I would probably be telling parents that they're looking at least 3 weeks, possibly a couple more, of really hard work. But it's doable.
Good advice. What sorts of things can cause sleep disturbances?
Well, a lot of things, a lot of different things can cause sleep disturbances. So one really common one is that the child has not yet learned how to fall asleep independently. And so babies under 4 months of age don't necessarily have the skill of falling asleep independently. So I wouldn't recommend doing sleep training when a child is less than 4 months of age. But after 4 months of age, it's believed that children do have this ability to fall asleep independently. So again, not having the skill of falling asleep independently can cause sleep disturbances because when a child doesn't have the skill of falling asleep independently at bedtime, they don't have the skill during the night when they wake up. And we all, adults and children, have 4 to 6 episodes of brief arousal during the night. And if a child cannot reestablish sleep on their own, yeah, that's when they signal or call out and need help to go back to sleep. So that's a common cause. Other causes include inconsistent responding. So that means that sometimes when a child wakes, parents will respond by giving the child a feed. And so the child can learn to associate waking with being fed.
Right.
And this pattern can repeat itself during the night. Sometimes it's not the feed they're looking for. It could be being rocked, bounced, a parent lying by their side holding their hand. So inconsistent responding and inappropriate responding during the night. Sometimes things such as travel can throw off sleep. So can reaching a new developmental milestone, like standing and walking because the child is so excited. Illness can also throw off sleep, so having a cold or teething. An inappropriate sleep schedule can cause sleep disturbances, so the child is put to sleep too early, and therefore they're not tired enough, so they exhibit some bedtime resistance, or they're put to bed too late. And we know that stress hormone called cortisol gets released when we and children are tired, and cortisol works to fight sleep. So if a child is put to bed too late and they're overtired, they actually may have a harder time settling, and they may wake more frequently at night and also earlier in the morning than usual. Continuing nighttime feeds when no longer necessary can also cause and maintain sleep disturbances. So if a child is always offered a feed at night, even if they don't theoretically need the feed, they may keep waking because they're getting fed. And medical problems such as reflux, and there's other ones as well, can also cause sleep disturbances. So parents are encouraged to speak with their child's physician or with someone who is training in the area of pediatric sleep if they do have concerns regarding their child's sleep.
Okay. In your opinion, what is most important for parents of young children to know about sleep?
Well, it's important for them to know that children need lots of sleep. So, for example, a toddler needs about, I would say, anywhere from 12 and a half to 14 hours of sleep a day. And this usually works out to be 11 to 12 hours at night, and 1.5 to 2.5 in the day or so. You know, as adults, we know how we feel when we're sleep deprived. So it's important for parents to remember that children also need enough sleep to function at their best, both physically and psychologically. And so parents are encouraged to make sleep a priority for their whole family. And it's also important for parents to know that most sleep disturbances in young children are highly treatable, but that consistency is key in solving sleep disturbances, so that when they do start a sleep training program, they need to be very consistent.
Well, that's great information, Nikki. One of my burning questions, because I've experienced this a lot and I talk to a lot of other parents that have this question, up to what age do children need to be fed during the night?
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a good question. It's generally thought that children who are 6 months of age and healthy and full term don't need to be fed anymore during the night. And so at around 6 months of age, most children have started solids.
Mm-hmm.
And also just developmentally, they're able to go through the whole night with no nighttime feeds. However, parents should check with their child's physician just to make sure that there's no medical need to continue with a nighttime feed. And when I see parents in my practice who are still feeding a child at night who doesn't need to be fed, I work with them to develop a weaning schedule. And I feel the importance of weaning a child from the nighttime feeds as opposed to stopping them cold turkey is that some children are legitimately hungry out of habit at night because they're used to being fed. And so if you were to eliminate the feeds cold turkey, it's possible that they could be waking up because they're, again, hungry out of habit. So what I do is I develop a feeding schedule with them and we wean the feeds slowly over a period of usually between 3 and 6 nights. Also, something that I do in my practice is that I work with parents to develop a really consistent approach to their responding at night. And this usually includes parents initiating the feeds because if a child only needs to be fed during the night, for example, once or twice, but they're waking 4 times, so parents may have this rule that I'm only going to feed you once or twice, but the child isn't aware of this rule, it can get kind of confusing. And so I develop a plan with parents to do scheduled feeds that the parents initiate.
Nikki, there are so many books out there on sleep. What are your favorites?
You know, it's true. There are a lot of books out there, and I think parents are often really confused about which method or which book they should be following or reading. The ones that I really like and that I recommend, one is called Sleeping Through the Night by Dr. Jody Mindell.
Yeah.
And the revised edition came out in 2005, and I think it's an excellent book. The other book that I really like is called The Sleep Easy Solution, and the authors are Jennifer Waldberger and Jill Spivak. And this book is more recent. It came out in 2007, and I think it's an excellent book, a lot of practical information, and a very consistent approach. So those two I like.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Nikki.
Well, thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.